Thank you, Blessing and Jonga. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Friday, May 16th, 2014. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Sandra Nyaira.
And I'm Chris Gande.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Chitungwiza Mayor Philip Mutoti says procedures were followed in suspending workers who he says breached protocol by appearing before a parliamentary committee exposing corruption in the satellite town.
These three workers were suspended by the town clerk because of the allegations they were going to the media. Town clerk said he was using the code of conduct of workers. He was using the code of conduct. That's why he suspended them.
A leading human rights lawyer, Beatrice Mtetwa, is named a recipient of a top United States award for social courage.
These three workers were suspended by the town clerk because of the allegations they were going to the media. Town clerk said he was using the code of conduct of workers. He was using the code of conduct. That's why he suspended them.
And experts say the health delivery system needs to start paying attention to anxiety, depression and loneliness as the country struggles to deal with mental illnesses.
Mental illness in our society is largely associated with ngozi, mamepo, witchcraft and all those.
Chitungwiza Mayor Philip Mutoti says his council followed the proper procedures in suspending three council workers who he says breached the local authorities protocol by speaking to the Portfolio Committee on Public Service, Labour and Social Welfare in Parliament and the media without authority exposing corruption. The mayor says town clerk George Makunde did not break the law when he suspended Thompson Bamusi, Ngonizashe Mrau and Ephraim Katsinam. The three appeared before the parliamentary committee giving evidence on corruption in the local authority. Our parliament on Wednesday adopted a motion urging the Chitungwiza Town Council to reinstate the three workers without victimization. Mutoti tells Studio 7 reporter Jonga Kandemiri that the trio still have to appear before the council's disciplinary committee before they can be allowed back to work.
These three workers were suspended by the town clerk because of the allegations they were going to the media. Announcing the surrogate for the management, which was not correct, and they didn't prove that they have got the evidence that the management, they are stealing the money. So the town clerk suspended them.
But did the council follow proper labor laws in suspending them?
Yes, town clerk said he was using the code of conduct of workers. He was using the code of conduct. That's why he suspended them.
On Wednesday, Parliament adopted a motion which should see the three going back to work. Are you going to comply with this?
Yes, these three workers, we're going back to work because the suspension doesn't mean dismissal. So they will be going back. After their hearing, they will go back to their work. Suspension doesn't mean dismissal.
The three were suspended for how long?
They were suspended for just 3 weeks.
In the future, what are you going to tell your workers as council in terms of issues like this?
In future, we are telling our workers they're not supposed to rush to go to the media. First, they must discuss with their mayor and give their consent to the mayor, not to just to go to the press, because they are damaging the council. Because even now, people, they can't pay even rent. They are saying managers, they are stealing money. Moreover, the mayor, me, I don't know anything about that because I don't have evidence for that.
What about allegations that in suspending these three, the council victimized them?
On that one, I don't have comment that the country is trying to victimize them.
That was Chitungwiza Mayor Philip Mutoti on the phone from Chitungwiza with Studio 7 reporter Jonga Kandemiri.
Prosecutor General Johannes Tomana says he will wait for court proceedings to conclude before taking a decision on whether to issue or appeal the issuance of a certificate for private prosecution in the alleged rape case by Buhera West legislator Munyara Zikereke. The High Court on Wednesday ordered Tomana to issue a certificate for the private prosecution of Kereke on charges of allegedly raping a then 11-year-old girl at gunpoint. The alleged rape occurred 4 years ago at Kereke's Vainona home in Harare. Kereke, a former advisor to former Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe Chief Gideon Gono, has vehemently denied the allegations, accusing Gono of fronting a smear campaign after the two fell out acrimoniously. But Gono has dismissed the allegations as unfounded. Kereke's lawyer, Advocate Louis Uriri, tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that his client is exercising his constitutional right to appeal against the High Court decision.
Well, I can confirm that Dr. Kereke has, through his lawyers, Messrs. James Makia Legal Practice, noted an appeal to the Supreme Court, and he essentially raises five grounds to appeal. The first one being that the High Court, having properly found that Dr. Kereke was not joined to the proceedings properly, in other words, that the manner in which he had been joined to the proceedings in the High Court was contrary to the rules, and having further found that he was a necessary part to the disposition of the matter, should have heard Dr. Kereke, and it should have ordered his joinder in terms of the High Court rules, or ordered that an application for his joinder be made. Therefore, to the extent that the matter was heard and determined without Dr. Kereke's input, we admit that that was clearly a breach of his right to a fair hearing, a breach of his right to be heard in the determination of his civil rights and obligations. We also submitted in the High Court in not finding that it is not every refusal by the Prosecutor General to prosecute an accused person that should result in the grant of a certificate of private prosecution. This is because the requirement that all prosecutions be at the instance of the Prosecutor General is a constitutional safeguard meant to safeguard members of the public, such as Dr. Kereke, from the malicious resort to criminal law, where that resort is not justified. Therefore, a resort to public prosecution can only be heard where it is shown that the Prosecutor General has been influenced by other factors, has been driven by improper considerations. And in the absence of such a finding, they cannot be resort to private prosecution.
But in legal jargon, Advocate Uriri, are you not blowing hot and cold? Why this directive, was it not against Mr. Tomana? Why should your client be involved?
Well, the directive, whilst it was against Mr. Tomana, directly affects the civil rights and obligations of a private citizen, and that private citizen must be heard. The rule is all the outer pattern, he and the other party. Whoever is affected by a decision must be heard before that decision is made. That is the law. It was Nicodemus, him who came to Jesus by night and said, how can a man be born again? Who later on, when Christ was being condemned, would say, does our law condemn a man before affording him an opportunity to be heard? That has always been the law. Will always be the law and will not change.
That was Advocate Louis Uriri speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
Responding, the lawyer representing the complainant, Charles Warara, tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that the appeal is surprising as the judgment to issue a certificate for private prosecution is against Mr. Tomana and not Kereke. He says he has not been furnished with Kereke's appeal papers.
Not at this stage. I haven't got anything that I've received from the other party. So I don't know whether, in fact, it is accurate or it's not. I've read it in the newspaper. That's all I know.
But what is your take on this appeal by Mr. Kereke?
Well, if my reading of the judgment is anything to go by, the effect of that ruling was that he was improperly cited. Or he was not supposed to be cited, whichever way one looks at it. But the consequence of that is that then he was not a party to those proceedings. So he cannot appeal to any court on a case in which he was not a party to the proceedings, legally speaking, that is. If he accepts that judgment as accurate, then he cannot turn around and say, look, I must benefit from the same judgment where he was excluded. So he is blowing hot and cold, basically, because in one breath he says, I am a party to this proceeding, I can appeal against him. In another, he turns around and says, look, I'm supposed to be excluded.
Lawyer Charles Warara, representing the child alleging she was raped by lawmaker Munyaradzi Kereke, speaking there with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington. If you are in South Africa, listen to Studio 7 through the following number, 010-591-6465.
If you are in America or Canada, you can tune in to our phone number, 712-432-5882. Once again, 712-432-5882.
If you are in Britain, call 033-0010-334. Once again, 033-0010-334.
The political parties pushing for a grand coalition to contest the 2018 elections say the movement should be a composition of genuine Democrats for it to succeed. This came out of a public meeting called by Bulawayo Agenda yesterday to discuss the infighting in different parties. Representatives from the MDC formation led by Welshman Ncube, Zapu and the MDC renewal team all agreed that the split that has ravaged especially the MDC has been a result of a lack of internal democracy. But a representative of MDCT, Abednego Bebe, dismissed the assertion, saying his boss Morgan Tsvangirai remains the face of the opposition. Bulawayo Agenda, through its subsidiary Gwanda Agenda, will host a similar meeting in Gwanda tomorrow. Ntungamili Nkomo of Studio 7 reached the organization's official Vutolezwe Nyati.
The decision was to come up with concrete resolutions and strategies of how best all the political parties, the ruling parties, and UPF and opposition parties can work together for the betterment of the social good of Zimbabwe. We had representatives from ZANU-PF, MDCT, MDC, Renewal Team, ZAPU, and we had about 350 citizens in attendance in that particular meeting. Generally speaking, from the submission, you could pick that the parties are not yet oriented towards working together in unison. There's still a lot of discord. The preoccupation of the meeting was to come out with way forward. But the questions from the citizens themselves demonstrated that people are still eager to know the nitty-gritties, the political nitty-gritties that are happening in the parties. Who suspended who? Who expelled who? Busy pinpointing this, that, and that on specific individual parties. For instance, if I may be specific, there's been accusations that the MTC and ZANU-PF are involved in the turmoil in the MTCT. The representatives of those parties were clear, specifically ZANU-PF. They said, no, it has become common in the opposition for ZANU-PF to be blamed for each and every problem, and they are certainly not responsible for their own internal squabbles. So they basically distanced themselves. And that was the same stance which was taken by the MTC to say, no, 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 with our own issues in 2005, we parted ways. The same thing is happening again. Certainly, we can't be said to be a common factor. The only common factor are players who were there in MDCT in 2005 and now.
That was Bulawayo Agenda official Vutolezwe Nyati in Bulawayo.
A leading human rights lawyer Beatrice Mtetwa has been named the recipient of the 2014 Evan Allen Jr. prestigious prize for social courage. Mtetwa is the first woman and the first non-Georgian to receive the Evan Allen Jr. prize, named in honor of the city's enlightened mayor of the 1960s, and it comes with a $100,000 cash award. The prize for social courage was established to recognize individuals who, by standing up for clear moral principles in the social arena, have positively affected public discourse at the risk of their own careers, livelihoods, and even their lives. She will receive the prize and be honored during a ceremony in America at the Evan Allen College of Liberal Arts, scheduled for November 13 this year. The nominations for recipients of the award come from the public, and a nominating committee then makes a recommendation to the Georgia Tech president, who then makes the official selection. Mutetwa tells the Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that she is elated.
Well, naturally, I'm thrilled, and it's like the positive of my work. I mean, 2 weeks after getting papers where the state wants to appeal my acquittal, I then get this. It's like a very nice balancing act for me.
And you seem not to be slowing down. What drives you to continue to do human rights work?
You know, if you don't want me on the scene, don't arrest people who will call me. Don't violate people's rights. It's like stopping a doctor treating patients, you know. It's my job. And as long as there are violations and I'm called to a scene, I will be there. And I don't understand why anyone is politicizing or criminalizing what is essentially a job for me. And it's annoying because there's so much criminal work that the Prosecutor General's office ought to be doing against persons who have committed crimes in this country. And he's just leaving them and just pursuing people like myself, Mchade Hama, Trust Mahanda, for no other reason than that to represent people they don't like.
And your critics will say, well, Mutetwa is getting awards from Western countries, and this is why she gets the awards, because she's too critical when it comes to the ruling party. What would be your response to that?
I don't do politics, blessing. I'm not critical of anybody. I'm critical of a failure to observe the rule of law. The rule of law does not belong to one person. It does not belong to a political party. It is a principle that applies to everybody. If a ZANU-PF member is arrested tomorrow, they should be subjected to fair due process like any other person. And people don't understand that the rule of law has no politics.
That was leading human rights lawyer Beatrice Mtetwa speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
Mtetwa was last year presented with an honorary degree of Doctor of Laws by the University of Bath in the UK for championing human rights and free speech in Zimbabwe. She is also the recipient of several international awards, including the Namori Prize for Ethics, the International Press Freedom Award from the Committee to Protect Journalists, the International Human Rights Award from the American Bar Association Section of Litigation. She's the only African, besides the late Nelson Mandela, to receive the Ludovic Trevoux International Human Rights Prize from France.
Zimbabwe this week joined the international community in commemorating Mental Health Awareness Week under the banner Are You Anxiety Aware? Experts in Zimbabwe say the health delivery system needs to start paying attention to anxiety, depression and loneliness as it does to physical ailments. Reports indicate hundreds of Zimbabweans who suffer from mental health illnesses are not accessing health facilities or they shy away due to the stigma. Experts say mental health in the country has culturally been associated with familial cases, leaving those suffering to be neglected.
Zimbabwe, faced with crippling financial problems, has been failing to build or fund mental illness facilities or to educate communities on the illness. A mental illness is a medical condition that disrupts a person's thinking, feeling, mood, ability to relate to others, and daily functioning. The most common illnesses include anxiety, mood disorders like depression, and eating disorders. Reporter Tatenda Gumbo spoke with psychiatrist Dr. Sekai Niwatiwa, who explains the challenges Zimbabwe is facing in adequately addressing mental health.
You know, our people, we try very hard to make people aware of mental illness. But you know, our culture, when somebody falls ill with mental illness, they always want to think it's something else. Mental illness in our society is largely associated with, you know, ngozi, mamepo, witchcraft, and all those other things.
How many people would you say in Zimbabwe are affected by mental illness? And out of that number, how many are actually getting health assistance to deal with that illness?
The figures would really need to do a lot of research. I hope since you are out there, you can help us get funds so we can actually have our own statistics. But having said that, I would say the common mental disorders or minor mental disorders are very common, from about 10 to 30%, give or take. But the major psychiatric mental illness conditions, I would say about 1 to 3% of the population, which is quite a lot.
Some of the common illnesses include depression, loneliness, anxiety. Are Zimbabweans aware that they are dealing with these issues?
They do know, but, you know, like I said, because of the stigma, many people would rather not see a psychiatrist and go and see a general practitioner who do very little for them. And if you get a general practitioner who knows what they are doing, those are the ones who refer the patient to mental health services. But we do try to, when the doctors are having their annual conference, we actually go there and give some input on mental health.
And moving forward, in terms of raising awareness, what do you hope the health community, especially the health ministry, can do to assist your efforts and others in raising awareness on mental health issues in Zimbabwe?
The bottom line is, right now, you know, our economic situation, if you go to ministry, they say with no money, there's very little money put up for mental health. So we are actually campaigning to have friends for mental health. We are people who have an interest in mental health, because they may have someone who's suffering from some form of mental disorder. If we can come up with such people who have the resources, we'll be able to do quite a lot. Once in a while, we will go on television to talk about certain conditions, and also on the video.
That was psychiatrist Dr. Sekai Niwatiwa.
The United States Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says Zimbabwe is one of its priority countries in the promotion of voluntary medical male circumcision as a key component in controlling and ultimately ending the HIV/AIDS pandemic in Africa. Addressing a seminar on HIV prevention at the Voice of America yesterday, the CDC's health communications specialist Dan Ratz said his organization is working with the World Health Organization, WHO, PEPFAR, and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, among others, in 14 Eastern and Southern African countries, including Zimbabwe, in promoting voluntary medical male circumcision. He says this is one of the safest and innovative ways of helping combat the spread of HIV/AIDS. The head of the AIDS and TB unit in the health ministry, Dr. Owen Mugurungi, tells Studio 7 since the program started a few years ago, about 90,000 men in Zimbabwe have undergone the procedure against a target of 115,000. He said figures show a significant increase in the number of men undergoing the operation compared to 2012, when 40,755 males were circumcised. Ratz spoke to Marvelous Mhlanganyawe earlier on.
It is now possible to envision a society in Zimbabwe where HIV no longer poses the threat that it does today to men, women, and children. In other words, we have it within our power to turn the tide on this nightmare once and for all. Safe medical male circumcision is one way of accomplishing that. It is very, very low risk. There is no real downside. And the potential for that intervention, taking this disease away, is so great that I would really encourage men and parents of boys to seriously consider taking this step. Believe me, they can be part of something greater than themselves, and they can help put this disease out of the picture.
What role can women play in trying to encourage their partners and the male society to go for voluntary circumcision?
A couple things that women can do. First of all, they can talk to their husbands about this and explore with them why they're on board with it and why they're willing to allow their husband to go forward with this. They can be supportive of that man's decision. Remember, this is a personal and invasive procedure. They can even give him a little extra support in the healing and help, you know, make his favorite meal. Just do things to let him know that they appreciate him for that. Men love to be affirmed by the women in their lives. Mm-hmm. We spend our whole lives trying to please women one way or another. This is one way for women to say, you know, I appreciate you for doing this for me, for our community, for our country, and for our sons and daughters.
What programs does the CDC have in Zimbabwe to assist in the male circumcision drive?
The CDC is playing a very profound role in Zimbabwe. It's one of our priority countries. So we're doing all we can to encourage men to make this choice and to make sure that the clinics that operate there are safe. I mean, that's huge with us. We want those clinics to be able to provide a medical service that is absolutely state-of-the-art so that people go into this with their eyes open, that they are well-informed, that they are not coerced in any way into this decision, and that they're taken care of and respected throughout the whole process.
Centers for Disease Control Health Communication Specialist Dan Ratz speaking with Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye in Washington, D.C.
Marvelous also spoke with PEPFAS partner, Associate Medical Director for the JHPEGO John Hopkins University, Dr. Tijistu Adam Ashenko, who also attended the conference.
Zimbabwe is showing one of the great leadership that we wanted in male circumcision program, especially people at the decision-making circles are putting all the efforts to provide the services to the community. And I know our partners, such as, I don't know if you know, the Population Services International is doing a great job in terms of expanding circumcision in Zimbabwe. So I think with additional resources and with a policy of task shifting, which means getting nurses, midwives, and other health cadre to be involved in the service delivery, will help Zimbabwe to continue on its path towards success. And I really see a situation where Zimbabwe become one of the countries that succeed in the near future.
What role can women play in trying to encourage their children, their husbands, you know, their sons to go for circumcision?
Exactly. And, you know, even though this is like a procedure on one individual, that's the man, a male circumcision, it is truly a partnership. HIV prevention is not about an individual. It's about a family. It's about a community. So the involvement of especially women in the house, partners, sisters, mothers, friends, is really huge. Why? Because men really do value the opinion of their significant others, especially their partners, their friends, and their mothers. So if they really come to the table and encourage their young men, their kids, and their friends, the success will be really huge. And we've seen that in other countries. We've seen that in parts of Zimbabwe, and that should really be encouraged.
That was PEPFAR Associate Partner for John Hopkins University, Dr. Tijistu Adam Ashenko in Washington, D.C.
Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our host will discuss with experts and you, the listeners, about mental illness in the country.
To join the discussion, please text us at 001-202-465-0318 so we can call you back from our studios.
And in sports news, the Warriors go hunting this weekend as the Zimbabwe senior men's national team clashes with Tanzania's Taifa Stars at the National Stadium in Dar es Salaam Sunday in an AFCON qualifier first leg encounter. There's also a chance for fringe players to showcase their talent when the country's top four football playing giants clash in the Zimbabwe National Army Commander's Charities Soccer Shield on Sunday.
And as the World Cup fast approaches, who do you think is the best striker in African football? Is it Dembaba? Is it Samuel Eto'o? Some might say. Let us know what who your 2014 African All-Star football team looks like by selecting the best goalie, the best striker, and the best defender from Africa at our website www.voa.com.